But someone's saying, we're back at work. Yay!
Yay!
6 minutes after the hour. Kermit Flail. Okay, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce, look, we're starting the week on a Tuesday.
That's right.
So Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com. What kind of fun is that?
I know, right?
Hey, speaking of fun, we take days off. Rocky Mountain Mike, who works for absolutely nothing, does not ever take a day off. No, he does not.
Want some box wine with your fart jokes? Party name for G. What's all these crazy questions the caller's asking me? They got the craziest party, the crazy GOP.
Yeah.
Don't troll from the right. Don't troll my Stephanie.
Mama and the Book Serpent. Mama and the Book Serpent. They sure know how to have fun, son. They sure know how to have fun, son.
Yay! Thank you. Oh, sorry. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Okay.
It never resolves.
What am I going to do? It's hanging there. Suspended cord.
As Bette Midler would say at the end of, what is that, Chapel of Love. Oh, well, that is a fit ending for a really terrific song. That was a good Bette Midler, wasn't it? Thank you. Thanks. All right, Jim, who said, it's hard to overstate the significance of California, which has 7.1 million uninsured residents, the most in any state coming in with such reasonable numbers. Like Oregon before it, where insurers actually asked to revise their proposed rates downward when they saw they were overpriced, competition is actually going to work to drive rates downward in California. That means this whole complex system could very well work and work well, which puts the country one step closer to the next stage in health care reform. Who said that?
Arnold Schwarzenegger and all of this.
No, that's a bad guess. I don't even know who said it. It doesn't matter. Because guess who's here to explain it to us?
Again.
Good morning, Nurse Jackie.
Good morning. How was your Memorial Day bonanza?
Fabulous. How was your wedding? Not your own wedding, of
course. Yeah, no, I didn't get married.
No. That would be, you would have buried the lead. Just
no, the wedding was great. It was really fun. It was beautiful.
Jim did that to us. Remember, Chris? We were, like, talking one Monday, and we're, like, a half an hour into the show, and he's like, oh, I got married over the weekend.
He's like, what? Yeah.
What now? Yeah.
Rebecca did the same thing to us.
Yeah. So that would not surprise us if you just came in and said, oh, I got married.
Yeah, what, did you sneak it in between Home Depot and a nap?
I get married in the morning. Chime.
So this is kind of big news, right? As someone that got us a nice thing, like the Affordable Care Act. Thank you, Jackie Schechner.
Yeah, that the early results are in and that the rates are turning out to be affordable. There's something to note is that, first of all, most people are going to continue to get their insurance the way they do now through their employer. And actually, I don't know what impact it would have, like, on the rates that you pay now because you guys have a group plan, through your business. And the exchanges, it'll be open to small businesses, but mostly things are going to stay the same. This is for primarily people who don't have access to health insurance now because they're individuals. And the rates are turning out to look more affordable. And the ones that look a little more expensive are actually because the benefits are better.
Right.
I mean, you can get an average plan now for pretty cheap, but you got to look at what your deductible is. You got to look at the benefits. I mean, they're bare bones plans that cover nothing.
Well, I mean, you can have different plans like anybody can, right? The silver, gold, whatever they call the different plans.
Yeah, I mean, there's some basics that are going to be mandatory, and then each level, each tier of plan has certain requirements that they need to meet. I mean, the insurance market right now is so unregulated in terms of what they're allowed to offer for what amount of money that it really is deceptive and it's so hard to figure out. So you look now and you say, okay, can I get a plan? Let's say just pick an arbitrary number. Can I get a plan for $300? Well, that sounds fairly reasonable. And you look and you say, oh gosh, you know, nothing's covered. I have a $5,000 deductible. My copays are exorbitant until I hit that deductible. I mean, it really is a lot of guessing and a lot of out-of-pocket costs. And so what this will do is kind of normalize what the benefits are that are offered. And it'll allow people to comparison shop,
so,
which is something you really can't do now.
Obviously, Republicans are going to look for the dark cloud in this. You know, the couple things I heard over the weekend were, you know, is there going to be less choice? Is that one of the things they're going to say? There could be, you know, less choice in doctors or hospitals?
No, I mean, you'll have the same amount of choice you do now. I had a conversation, as most people know, I'm pretty uncoordinated and burned the crap out of my hand.
Yes.
And as I went to the doctor, we were chatting on my checkup, and I said, you know, why is it that you take Medicare and not any other insurance? And he said, because I don't like being told what to do by some doctor advisor from the insurance company who wants to go through my records and who wants to, you know, second guess everything that I tell my patients that they need. And
right.
that's what the insurance companies do. They micromanage him.
Right.
And he said, I just don't really want to deal with that anymore. So, you know, he will submit to insurance, but he's not in network anywhere. And so that's fundamentally what we're doing now is, you know, hopefully the doctors will be more receptive, because there'll be some more regulation on the insurance companies and they won't be able to own the doctors and hospitals the way they do.
Right, right. Well, I don't know if you read Krugman.
I did read
Krugman. Yeah, the Obamacare shock, because, you know, this is what we've been told, right, that this is going to be a horrible, it's going to be a shock, it's going to, but, you know, the Republicans mean in a bad way, and oh dear, for them. Krugman writes, the Affordable Care Act goes fully into effect at the beginning of the year. Predictions of disaster are being heard far and wide. There'll be an administrative train wreck, we're told. Consumers will face a terrible shock. Republicans, one hears, are already counting on the law's trouble to give them a big electoral advantage. Oh, dear. Anyway, and he points out what you always say, Jack, and that is that there are going to be snags, and we have to be prepared. The Republicans are going to highlight any kind of bumps and snags, as there would be in any huge program like this being implemented, right?
Yeah, healthcare spending in this country is 20% of our GDP. We're talking about a lot of money and a very large program that we're trying to implement in terms of fixing the problems that we've got. Our current system is unsustainable. So when you're trying to do this kind of heavy lift, of course there's going to be some glitches. It's not going to all run smoothly. It wouldn't run smoothly if it were totally private sector controlled anyway. Like, there's no way that you can do this much work and have it all run totally smoothly. And it'll be under a microscope because of all of the political back and forth that's been going on. But I think ultimately we're going to make some really good positive changes, and the problems are going to come into play. For example, when there's a lot of people who don't get Medicaid because Republican governors or Republican legislatures have decided against expanding Medicaid coverage.
Exactly.
So that's going to be the big problem.
Right. I mean, you know, what Krugman writes is important new evidence, especially from California, is the law's most important test case suggests the real Obamacare shock will be of unexpected success. Except, as you say, and he points out, because there's so many Republican governors and legislatures doing all they can to sabotage it, talking to you, Rick Perry, disappointed.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah,
right.
There's a lot of them.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Even in Florida, where Rick Scott did that, must have hit his head weird turnaround, where all of a sudden he decided he was going to expand Medicaid, the Republican legislature shot it down.
Right.
So they are working feverishly to try to do everything they can to sabotage it, but I think ultimately we'll see some positive changes. And keep in mind, again, this is not affecting a large portion of the population. Most people get their health insurance through work, and they will continue to do so.
Right.
So this is people who can't get health insurance now because they have pre-existing conditions. They're trying to buy it alone. It's cost prohibitive.
And this is what the president has said over and over again, and they keep trying to, you know, muddy the waters on the right? And he has said that most of you, there will be no change, and that is correct, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the hope is that once people get a better look at what certain services cost, that they'll have more options, like the idea in Oregon where they asked if they could come back and revise their rates. You know, it's like, wait a minute.
Huh?
Wait, when we charge $700, people say that's absurd? Hang on. Let me give you a new, look, it's
$300. Yeah, well, look what I did. Well, you know, and Krugman points out about, obviously, Massachusetts, which we've always talked about as being an example of the system where it works, but they were saying, oh, well, that's different, it's a special case, and obviously California, a lot larger, and so that is going to be a big deal, right, if this works the way it looks to be so far, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll suss out some of the glitches as we go along, but for starters, it looks like the implementation is going to be good, that there'll be some competition, that when they have to butt up against each other and you have to compare these plans against each other, that it's going to be a little bit more transparent, which is the idea, and show people what they're getting for their money. It's the same way with just healthcare costs in general. We have no idea what we're paying and why we're paying such high costs. And so the idea here is that maybe once you're forced to see all of these insurance plans next to each other, you can get a better sense of what you're getting for your money, and perhaps we could spend some less amount of money to get better benefits.
Right. I think, you know, Krugman breaks it down here at the end. He said, so here's what it seems is about to happen. Millions of Americans will suddenly gain health coverage, and millions more will feel much more secure knowing such coverage is available if they lose their jobs or suffer misfortunes. Only a relative handful of people will be hurt at all. And as contrasts emerge between the experience of states like California making the most of the new policy and those of states like Texas, whose politicians are doing their best to undermine it, the sheer mean-spiritedness of Obamacare opponents will become ever more obvious. Isn't that interesting that that's going to, you know, it could be a political shock, but not the way they expect, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the problems that we have with healthcare in general is that because so many people get their health insurance through work, they don't understand how difficult the marketplace is if you don't get it through work. And so when people lose their jobs, or they're downsized, or something like that happens, some misfortune happens, and they have to go out and navigate the insurance market on their own, that's when it becomes so, so difficult and so treacherous. So a lot of people don't really understand why it's so problematic until they hit a snag.
Right.
And so that's what this is going to end up hopefully fixing.
Are you saying
that marketplace?
Some people should rethink using the C word about their employer in a rocky healthcare market? Is that what you're implying?
Is that what's going on there in that little bunker of yours?
That happened like 8 years ago.
Oh, a woman never forgets that.
America's underpants?
Jack, before you go, we brought this up Friday because I just want to, on behalf of my union friends, there's some concern about because we were talking about a lot of times unions, that's part of the concessions, is their health care plans in lieu of more salary. And so what is the concern and how do you think that'll be addressed?
Well, the concern is whether or not there's going to be tax on these higher cost, more comprehensive benefit plans. That doesn't kick in, from what I understand, until like 2018, I think. And I think that perhaps there'll be some negotiation before any of those fees and taxes kick in. So hopefully the unions will have enough influence and bargaining power to be able to renegotiate something on that, and that people who got better benefits in lieu of salary increases won't be penalized for it. The article that we were talking about in particular has to do with something called multi-employer plans, and it's a little more complicated, and I think the concern was that these plans are kind of a specific case and that they might somehow impact the unions in some way. It's very particular to these types of plans, and so it's going to have to specifically be negotiated out. But in terms of people within unions who've negotiated for better benefits in lieu of higher salaries, I think ultimately they'll have the bargaining power on their side to be able to keep those without having to pay a penalty for them down the line, or at least ideally that's what will happen.
Okay, awesome. An awesome corner, may I just say.
Oh, thank you. I've had a couple of days of rest.
It's a very hefty corner. Thank you. A lot of the healthcare news. All right, honey, thanks so much. See you at the top of the hour.
My pleasure. Bye, guys.
There she goes, taking off the little Nurse Jackie cap.
Aw.
She's jaunty in that cap, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the Political Party Line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed, I'm your hell, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between, you know you wouldn't want it any other way.
See, I'm a bitch, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't need that marker. That was my way of saying thank you. I don't need this.
Uh-huh.
I think he would like it some other way. Other than bitch.
Okay. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, let's go to Dave in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you, Stephanie?
Good.
Nice to talk with you again.
You too.
I called a while ago expressing the thought that health insurance for profit was immoral. And you guys pretty much agreed with me.
Yeah.
The problem is, I've been back in this country since 1988. I'm a tour manager in the concert business. Nobody's ever given me health insurance.
Right, right.
So I have had only catastrophic health insurance. It's been the only thing I've been able to afford to buy.
Yeah, I have a friend that has that, yeah.
You know, and the thing is, I had it at first, when I first moved back here in 88, I was paying a couple hundred bucks a month, even back then, for basically worthless insurance. Then it went up.
I think the only thing it covers is if you spontaneously combust like a drummer in Spinal Tap. Am I right?
I mean, you know, one has it as, I've got a kid, I don't want to have to declare bankruptcy if I get sick. If anything seriously went wrong, God forbid, at least over the $10,000 deductible they're supposed to pay.
Yeah.
But again, you never know. You know.
Well, Dave, I mean,
find
I,
a way
I think
to exclude you.
Yeah. I think your original point was correct. I you know, that's the problem. If there is a downside with Obamacare, it's that it is complex, and what would be a lot simpler is
single payer.
Mm-hmm. That's
love
exactly
to be able
right.
To buy into Medicare. I'd be happy to spend $300 or $400 a month.
Yeah.
I could afford
there,
that
there would be,
for my salary.
Right. Dave, exactly. There would be none of the snags if we just did Medicare for all. I mean,
the problem on the other side, too, Stephanie, is this. I'm 58 years old. Not to get too personal, but I have never had a colonoscopy, ever.
Right.
I should have had one when I was 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I should be having one now. I'm approaching 60. I'm quiet. I live in Asheville, North Carolina. $1,750 just to get in the door. And then if they find any polyp that they have to remove, it can be up to 6,000.
Depending on
how many they find.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absurd. How is one supposed to, so, you know.
Yep, I hear you, Dave. I hear you. Well, I know. I wish you well because it's, I know. That's the thing. And you know, I don't know specifically in North Carolina, but it is going to be harder in states that are run by Republican legislatures and or Republican governors that are not going to. Rick Perry just announced that over
Seems
the weekend.
Like there should be a national standard for that sort of thing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Scott in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Scott.
National health.
Morning, everybody.
Yes. Hello.
I've got neighbors, and they think Fox News and Rush Limbaugh is the gospel. And
right.
I was talking to them the other day. My neighbor went to the doctor. And they're complaining every fall about how the donut hole they fall into, and it's like $1,000, $1,200 they fall into.
Right.
I told them, I said, don't complain about the ACA. I said, you're done with the donut hole. It's closed at the end of 2013.
Yep.
I said, don't complain about the ACA. That's going to benefit you. And they look at me like I'm nuts.
Well, this is what's going to start happening, Scott. And we mentioned this before, that people are going to see the good things start to kick in, like out here in California. People are going to go, see, you're going to be, oh, they're going down.
What about the death panels? There's no death
What about the donut? Oh, it's closed. Oh.
They'll just say it's going down because the death panels are killing people.
Right. Right. Speaking of which, that's a startling headline. Are there too few great white sharks off the coast of California?
Oh.
Not for me. However, there's I just thought for, you know, the beginning of the Memorial Day, beach time.
Right.
How many great white sharks are prowling near California's surf line? Was the story in the
Wait,
LA
I
Times.
Hear, I hear bases. That's bad. That's bad. I shouldn't be hearing bass.
We're going to need a bigger boat. Some scientists.
Oh, here come the violas. Uh-oh.
Some scientists say the
and the trombones. That's bad.
Some scientists say the population is large and healthy. Others say it is alarmingly small. This is what
We're
I thought was funny
orchestra.
About this. Right. This is what I thought was funny about this story. They're currently conducting, I'm not kidding, the first and only census of great white sharks ever attempted.
Hello?
Excuse me, would you happen to be a...
Are you a great white shark?
Why do I sense this is going to result in less census takers, not less great white sharks?
Well, they would really eat the census takers' liver with
land
some
shark.
Fava beans.
Hello? Are
land
you,
sharks on the other
are
side of the
door.
Are you
by any chance a great white shark? Yes.
No, I'm not. I'm a Mako shark.
I'm telling you right now, it's going to result in a lot less census takers. Sharks are notoriously cranky when contacted by census workers.
Even more than Republicans.
In 2011, the census estimated that only 219 adult and subadult great whites lived off the central California coast. Other shark experts claim the actual population is several times larger. Who can say? The census takers seem to be disappearing willy-nilly. It must be hard to keep count. All I know is we have zero shark census takers now.
White shark.
Right. I'm sorry. Dr. Flagenholm?
All right.
I just love the shark census story. I just did. I just had to share. There's a shark census going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, 29.
Somebody's got to do it.
Okay. I hope Jehovah's Witnesses aren't trying to convert them, because that's not going to go well either. Would you like to find... Oh, never mind. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, I like your delusion.
Stephanie Miller.
Most people would say, I lost. I give up. But you just keep trying. You're like the Dominican Republic, always killing the guy in charge and saying, ah, oh, this new guy's going to get it right.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Liz in St. Charles, you're in on Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Liz.
Morning. Hey, there's an element to the single payer system I never hear emphasized. And to me, I think it makes a lot of sense that if we have young, healthy people paying into it, that would make it financially healthier. I mean, that's how the insurance companies work. Yep. I would think, you know, that would be brought up more as a positive.
Well, I mean, that's what the mandate's about, Liz. It's making, you know, that's exactly it. That's what makes the whole thing work, is that everybody has to be in, you know, and that's why they can't refuse people with pre-existing conditions.
Right, and, you know, and if everyone can get into it, think of all the young, healthy people we could bring into the system and, you know, that much more money. And
right.
You know.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. All right, thank you, honey. All right, so the IRS, I meant to do this.
Uh-huh.
I'm new at this. I haven't seen my box in 3 days. All right, it's been a long weekend.
Sitting on a stool with a mirror will help.
Groups targeted by IRS tested rules on policy. Did you see this in the New York Times, Jim? It's exactly what you've been saying. When QVFC, for instance, a conservative veterans group in California, applied for tax-exempt status with the IRS, its biggest expenditure that year was several thousand dollars in radio ads backing a Republican candidate for Congress.
Yeah.
Why? That seems political in some way. The
How dare you revoke our tax-exempt status? Bastards!
Right.
Bomb a death panel. Nazi.
Hitler.
Freedom, tyranny.
The Wetumpka Tea Party,
uh-huh.
One of my personal favorites, from Alabama, Wetumpka, sponsored a training for a Get Out the Vote initiative dedicated to, quote-unquote, the defeat of President Barack Obama.
Yeah. That seems political.
Seems a little bit. While the IRS was weighing its application, and the head of the Ohio Liberty Coalition, oh, there's that word, whose application languished with the IRS for more than 2 years, sent out emails to members about Mitt Romney's campaign events and organized members to distribute this to Romney's presidential campaign literature.
So why didn't this all come out when this story broke?
I know.
Instead of the mea culpas. Oh, we got to get to the bottom of this. It's a catastrophe. It's Nixonian. It's awful. Yeah. No, it isn't. It's them doing their jobs.
Right. Representatives of these organizations have cried foul in recent weeks, of course, about their treatment by the IRS, saying they were among dozens of conservative groups unfairly targeted by the agency. But a close examination of these groups and others reveals an array of election activities that tax experts and former IRS officials said would provide a legitimate basis for flagging them for closer review. Do you think?
Yeah. Mm.
The defeat of President Obama. That seems, I don't know.
That's a little political.
Tiny bit. You can look at some of these groups and understand why these questions were being asked, said one former IRS expert. Some election lawyers said they believed a wave of lawsuits against the IRS and intensifying congressional criticism of its handling of applications were intended in part to derail those audits, giving political nonprofit organizations a freer hand during the 2014 campaign. Some former IRS officials disputed several of Mr. George's conclusions, including his assertion that it was inappropriate to ask groups about their donors or whether their leaders had plans to run for public office. The IG was as careless with terminology as the Cincinnati office was, said the guy that headed this exempt division of the IRS previously. Half of those questions have been found to be germane in court decisions. IRS agents are obligated to determine whether a 501c4 group is primarily promoting social welfare. While such groups are permitted some election involvement, it cannot be the organization's primary activity. So, I mean, that's exactly what we've been saying. It seems like a lot of these questions were justified.
Mm-hmm.
And no one has still told me what social welfare these Tea Party groups do. What do they do exactly? Debbie Wasserman Schultz, our good friend from Florida.
Well, it's important, though, to understand there is nothing that has pointed to any outside influence or any political motivations here.
Well, and that's the other thing. Everybody blurts Watergate. What? This didn't come from the White House at all. Oh, well, this well-known Southern Belle, Lindsey Graham.
This culture of going after Tea Party groups that were, you know, on the president's case about Obamacare did just not accidentally happen. I think it comes from the top in terms of tone.
That's
how does such a culture come about? How vast was it? Who was involved? This really does call for a special counsel.
Oh, please.
the tone. I'm so appalled by the tone.
Oh, no. I just finished my last vapor. Well, I've gotten another rash of them. You know what? You can't blame him. He's probably missing his lover, John McCain, who snuck into Syria. Syria. What the hell?
And met with the rebels.
What? Treason. Just saying, really?
Wow.
Did anyone tell him he lost the election? And also, he's not Secretary of State in addition? Okay. Oh, Senator Rand Paul, here we go.
Nobody questions his legal authority, but I think he's really losing the moral authority to lead this nation, and he really needs to put a stop to this. I don't care whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. Nobody likes to see the opposite party punishing you for your political beliefs.
That's not what's happening, you dillweed. God.
Oh, good one. Yay. That's a new one. Dillweed.
Is he going to join the great senator from the state of South Carolina on the debating couch? Sounds like it.
Oh, my stars.
Oh, no. I love Lindsey Graham. Oh, there's just a tone that comes from the tone. What? What does that mean?
That's why we need to appoint a special prosecutor, because of the tone.
I do not appreciate your tone. Oh, my stars.
That's no way to treat a lady.
And improper tone is so illegal in this country.
Yes, it's just an impolite tone emanating from the White House.
You know who else had improper tone? Hitler.
All right, thank you. His tone was a little overwrought.
Yeah,
it really was.
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. All right. Yeah. What the with John McCain? What is that about? I don't... He snuck into Syria, and he's meeting
with the rebels
and criticizing the president on foreign soil.
Yeah.
He's not in charge of our policy in Syria or anywhere else.
It's not the policy. It's not the policy.
Whatever. Did you see Lindsey Graham tweeted, if he doesn't come back, I want his office? Oh, my goodness. Lover spat? What's happening there?
Really?
I don't know.
Wow.
Don't know.
Seems a little inappropriate.
Yeah. Oh, all right. And John McCain met with the troops, which also is the president's job generally on Memorial Day, which he did. He delivered a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, the president.
It'll be our task, every single one of us, to honor the strength and the resolve and the love these brave Americans felt for each other and for our country.
He was praising, obviously, the sacrifice of American soldiers after laying the ceremonial wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. He noted that Americans no longer have to sacrifice along with soldiers in the field when the nation goes to war. He urged Americans to remember that even as the wars of the last decade come to a close, American servicemen and women fight on around the globe.
A transition is underway in Afghanistan, and our troops are coming home. Fewer Americans are making the ultimate sacrifice in Afghanistan. And that's progress for which we are profoundly grateful.
Yeah, he said today most Americans are not directly touched by war, which is true. As a consequence, not all Americans may always see or fully grasp the depths of sacrifice, the profound costs that are made in our name. The president.
Even as we turn a page on a decade of conflict, even as we look forward, let us never forget, as we gather here today, that our nation is still at war.
Oh, and here's Lindsey Graham being helpful and supportive of our commander-in-chief on Memorial Day.
Sure.
Oh, no, he's not. He's bitching again. Okay. Let's see what he has to say now.
Our enemies are emboldened all over the planet. Al-Qaeda in Iraq is coming back with vengeance. In Libya, you saw Al-Qaeda groups in Yemen and Libya working together. Our friends are uncertain. Syria is falling apart.
Oh, and that's why your lover had to go and help. I mean, I'm sorry. Did I say I meant friend? John McCain.
You're talking about them like they're in that movie Inside or Behind the Candelabra that was on.
I love that movie. Oh my God, who else was Behind the Candelabra?
I did.
Michael Douglas, unbelievable as Liberace.
And Rob Lowe with the.
Rob Lowe!
He couldn't even see what he was doing.
Rob Lowe as the plastic surgeon. Yeah. His eyes are so tight he can't even see.
That was great.
Hilarious. Matt Damon was great. Mm-hmm. That was really hilarious.
Yeah,
oh my God.
That was actually a good movie.
How did they do that to Rob Lowe's eyes? So he plays a plastic surgeon, but that obviously has had so much surgery he can barely see.
Right.
They must have, I swear to God, they must have like had something behind it, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like
probably
pulling his...
Pin. Well, his wig was so big that they probably had something, you know, pulling his eyes back underneath the wig.
He was like that one character in, what was it, Death Becomes Her that keeps doing this because his eyes dripping from the Botox. He keeps doing that. Hilarious.
It doesn't hurt when I do this?
Ow. All right. Jim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Stephanie. What I wanted to say is if everybody's speeding and the only people that they pull over are black or Hispanic, that's a problem, and that's what's happening with the IRS scandal.
No.
Is
no.
the fact that the people that they're no, the people they're scrutinizing are only conservative or Tea Party groups.
Not true.
When everybody
no,
is
that's
doing
not true.
No, not true.
No, the
they
only,
went after
the only group that lost
to NAACP and Greenpeace.
Right.
Yeah.
When was that?
When during the Bush administration, they were going after the NAACP and Greenpeace, who were.
What
you
about
know.
What about recently? Who has been the subject?
Well, the only organization that lost tax exempt status is Emerge America, which is a group that funds Democratic female candidates.
Who has been scrutinized by the IRS?
Emerge
recently?
America.
She just
said that.
No.
Yes.
No. The Tea Party groups are the ones that were targeted, and it
because they were deliberately
targeted.
Doing political.
Work.
Yeah, you need to stop listening to just Fox News, dude.
Who
did it? Huh? Hitler. That's who.
You know what? We haven't sprayed in here in 3 days because it was a long weekend. Troll be gone. Okay. Just saying. Let's go to Mike in Ohio. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mike.
Hey, you guys. Hey, everybody seems to forget what happened right there last year when AARP came out and started mentioning about Social Security and Medicare. When the Republicans and everything was trying to make fun of Social Security and AARP came out in defense of it, who got targeted by the Republicans for their tax exemption? It was AARP. Remember, they called a special committee up,
mm-hmm.
and for about 2 weeks they hounded AARP.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yep, absolutely, I do. Yeah, that's, a long weekend. We just have to automatically...
Are you tired of cranky callers and childless chatters who only want a harsher talk show buzz?
Right.
You've spent a lot of time and effort producing the best show possible, only to have them poop in your punch bowl. Well, not anymore. Introducing Troll Be Gone, the strongest solution for ridding your calls and chat rooms of troublemaking trolls. Just one spray, and Troll Be Gone.
I've been a chat room moderator for years. I used to fight with trolls all the time. Now I just spray them away from Ustream, LiveBlog, Twitter feeds, and Facebook profiles. Apply liberally, and it lasts for weeks.
Check out Troll Be Gone in action.
I'm a small business owner.
Look at the monkey.
I try to listen to both sides.
Order Troll Be Gone today. Now available in our 5-gallon concentrate.
You know what?
All right, good now. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi.
Yo. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Jim, it's a double guess the quote hour.
Uh-oh.
Who said we have made it clear to high-ranking officials, whether they be Republicans or Democrats, that are going to Syria sends mixed signals. Photo opportunities and or meetings with President Assad lead the Assad government to believe they're part of the mainstream of the international community when, in fact, they're state sponsors of terror. Who said that?
John McCain.
No! That was a good guess, though. No, George W. Bush, when Nancy Pelosi went to...
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's all different now, I guess.
Oh, here's another headline about the story. An American senile old man wanders off, ends up in the Middle East. Grampy, what are you doing in Syria? Did you sit on the pie again?
Cancel the apple pie on the seat.
Uh-oh!
Grandpa, are you sitting on the pie?
I sure hope so.
Tony in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony. Hello, Tony. Tony going once, going twice. Chris in Joise. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing, Steph?
Good, go ahead.
This is for Jim. I have a question, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new Three Stooges movie starring John Boehner as Mo, John McCain as Curly, and Lindsey Graham as Larry, with a stand-in Stooge as Mitch McConnell. Is it true the name of the movie is The Three Stooges in Washington Take on Reality?
Okay.
That rolls off the tongue.
I didn't realize Buster Brooks was still around. That's awesome. That is awesome.
Oh, look. Oh, nice guy.
All right. So that happened. And now this is happening. Billy in Texas, my little GOP pal. Hello, Billy.
How's it going, Stephanie?
Good.
Listen, y'all just made the comment that George Bush had the ACL or the NAACP and Greenpeace investigated by the IRS.
Yes.
Right.
First of all, I don't believe that. Secondly,
Why
didn't he get called on it? Obama's been caught flat-footed on this thing. He is acting Hitler-esque.
What?
Really? Really?
He was the guy who apologized profusely and said he was going to go after these people because it was the IRS, because it was a horrible miscarriage of justice. And it wasn't. They were...
got nailed for it, man. Oh, he got nailed for it.
Billy, yes, Hitler-esque. That Billy, is a Billy, good description.
Billy, if primarily only one group is breaking the law, then it isn't wrong to prosecute primarily that one group.
But you do, that's not right at all.
Yes, it is right.
No, that's not what they hadn't been determined that they broke any law. They just singled them out because they were
engaging in political activity.
What you always do. You say, oh, well, we
they were engaging in political activity.
Republicans did it too back in 1953. Well,
Scotch. In what way is that Hitler-esque? Just out of curiosity, in your mind.
Well, that's what Laughing Boy over there said.
Laughing Boy?
Hitler-esque.
Yeah, when he alluded to Hitler a few minutes ago, right after that comment y'all made about George Bush. And Obama IRS as
low-level employees at the IRS that were screening parties that were obviously political, that's Hitler-esque in what way?
Listen,
and the president had nothing to do with it?
Admitted
answer
that
the
they
question.
Singled out green, I mean, Tea Party people. They've admitted that. And they've said, well, that shouldn't happen. We're sorry we did it. But they've admitted they did it, and it's wrong, and you guys should know it, and you shouldn't point and say, well, you know, we think George Bush did it, too.
We know for a fact that's what he did.
You show me a piece of evidence where George Bush...
Oh, for God's sakes. I know. If it didn't happen on Fox News, I'm sure it didn't happen then.
If dinosaurs once roamed the earth, show me, get me a skeleton.
Right.
Prove it.
Wheel some bones in here.
And prove that that Neanderthals weren't riding on dinosaurs. Oh. Prove it.
All right.
You can't, can you?
Really?
All right, Billy.
First day back from a long weekend,
really?
We get that?
Yeah. How do you have a conversation with that, with nuh-uh?
Hitler-esque.
Nuh-uh.
Hitler-esque. Yeah.
Then that would be a whole hour of me going, cha.
Hitler wouldn't shake Jesse Owens' hand because he didn't think it was a human being. And Obama's Hitler-esque. God. I was going to say some things that would get us knocked off the radio. Which
all right.
Thanks for censoring yourself there.
Yeah. Also, that could get us just canceled, just that it would be a whole hour of nuh-uh.
Yeah-huh.
Cha.
Cha.
Uh-uh.
Cha.
Uh-uh. You always claim George Bush did. No, he actually did it.
Google it. Use the interwebs for something besides porn, Billy. For God's sakes. All right. Have you looked at these pictures, by the way, of this bridge in Washington?
Yeah.
Tommy writes, Dwight Eisenhower started the interstate highway system, and the idea that we would have bridges falling on it would really have ticked him off. Bob Dole was right when he said that neither he or Ike would have a home in the Republican Party today. Echoing what I've said and a lot of other sane...
Well, Rachel also pointed out there was a design flaw with those things.
Yeah,
design... Yeah, it shouldn't take out the whole bridge when you knock out one of those supports.
Right. A truck did hit it. I mean, it didn't just fall down by itself.
No, I know. But I'm saying
I know what you're saying.
But the design should have been modified over the past 50 years at some point. Somebody might have said, you know what, we need to kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah. Had more attention been paid to the bridge like it should have been, then that would have been found out earlier.
No, I'm just saying we've seen a lot of these pictures after Hurricane Katrina. We saw the pictures of our levees and levees around the world, and we're like, what happened to America? Yeah, what happened to that?
Well, several unnecessary wars happened to that.
Yeah. Bob Dole thinks Bob Dole wouldn't have a place in Bob Dole's old Republican Party now.
Bob Dole thinks Bob Dole should stop referring to Bob Dole in third person. Makes Bob Dole look like a fruitcake.
I miss that. Remember how much Bob Dole used to refer to himself in the third person?
Absolutely.
That's just weird. Bob Dole said yesterday he is somewhat dismayed by the current state of Congress, where gridlock has prevented many legislative pushes from getting through. Mm-hmm. It seems almost unreal, he said, that we can't get together on a budget or legislation. We weren't perfect by a long shot, but at least we got our work done. Yeah, what do they get done now? Nothing, except repealing health care for the 37th time. What was the reason given for that? Boehner said, so the new... Congress people can have a chance to vote. What is this, T-ball? Like,
yeah, but
participation ribbon.
Right, exactly. All right. So anyway, more on Bob Dole's thoughts and Charlie Pierce and much more from Esquire.com as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to It 6 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com coming up at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We were talking about what Bob Dole said about Bob Dole's old Republican Party, that Bob Dole would not be, right?
Bob Dole would not be welcome in today's Republican Party. Bob Dole thinks that's a shame.
And I agree with Bob Dole. He said no doubt about it.
Bob Dole agrees with Bob Dole.
Right? He said no doubt about it that cloture is being abused. He said he didn't spare the Republican Party his criticism, saying they need to be closed for repairs and come up with more plans and a vision for the future before the end of the year. He was asked whether he'd even fit in with the Republican Party today. He said, I doubt it. He said Reagan wouldn't have made it. Certainly Nixon wouldn't have made it because he had ideas. We might have made it, but I doubt it. That made you fall on the drum set for some reason.
Yes, it did.
Are you okay?
I'm Logie.
All right. It's been a long holiday weekend. All right. John in Fort Worth just found our show, which never ends well for me. Hello, John in Fort Worth. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. How are you all?
Good. How are you?
Good. I've been listening to your show here for, a couple, 3 weeks, but I was just kind of wondering... But what do you know about Benghazi? And because I'm trying to get educated on it, on what kind of really happened from, from the onslaught until all the stuff that's been going on right now.
What questions do you still have?
Why did it happen? And
it's a dangerous part of the world, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I mean,
were you asking the same questions when 60 people were killed in embassies around the world when George Bush was president? Embassies are frequently in dangerous places, and stuff sometimes happens.
This was actually a consulate, right? It wasn't really
consulate.
Embassy. And it wasn't...
No, I know they dragged their leader through the street like Julius Caesar, but I just, I was kind of wondering tweet of actually what happened.
Part of the reason was that a lot of people voted to withhold funding for embassy security.
And when he says a lot of people, he means Republicans.
And also there's the fact that Chris Stevens didn't really want it to be a fortress. He was very popular with the people there. He spoke fluent Arabic and really didn't want it to be an ivory tower. So it was in part his openness that helped... make it easy for these guys.
And the fact that it was just a diplomatic mission and not an embassy. An embassy receives a hell of a lot more security than a diplomatic mission.
Yeah. For example.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, no, thank you. Please, come again.
Doubt we turned him around.
No.
He just didn't know what... He just had never heard those facts before and didn't know how to respond.
I see, but I was very contained, wasn't I?
You were.
Thank God I'm this sleepy.
We didn't leave
like
an opening to blame
on
Obama for it.
But... Oh! I just run out that window.
Yeah.
Okay. goodbye. Tony in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Yeah, hi, Steph. I want to talk about Grandpa. John McCain wandering in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you just imagine if Romney was president and a Democratic senator did it? You'd never hear the end of it with the carnival barkers over there at so-called Fox News.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And they did do it when Bush was president. Anytime, a Democratic leader went anywhere, they were undermining the president.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi.
Blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blamed for
something. I mean, McCain's not only criticizing the president on foreign soil and his policy in Syria, he's, pretending like he's the one in charge of policy in Syria.
And right-wingers went after Obama for admitting that we were responsible for the overthrow of Mossadegh, the, democratically elected leader of Iran. It was CIA and Standard Oil and MI6 and BP that all, and, but that, apparently was his treason. To admit that we did something wrong.
Right.
Yes, this smells a little treasony, doesn't it?
With extra treason berries.
Right. Mike in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, I just happened to stumble across your show many years ago. listening faithfully ever since.
Yes, and you just kept stumbling.
Yeah, I just wanted to say a few words in sympathy with Billy in Texas. He reminds me of one of our dogs who has a pathetic need for attention.
And he'll keep prodding and prodding and prodding, even if you're holding a cup of tea in your hand, and keep on going even after you yell at him, just because he has to get the attention.
Right.
And somebody who keeps calling in, you know, week after week, month after month, and is either saying something that they know is untrue, or
right.
has not bothered to find out whether it is true, they've got a pathological need for attention.
Yeah, you know, it's, now that you bring that up, my dog Fred is like that. If you've ever, has he done this to you, Jim? He just keeps going like this.
Yeah.
Fred just keeps like, and you don't know what he wants. You're right, he just, I don't know what he wants.
You need some food. That's basically what
No, I don't think that's it. Like, you'll pet him and pet him and pet him, and then if
pet
you stop for a second, yeah.
Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't
Boots
stop.
Is like that.
Right.
Yeah. But only she will reach out and just kind of gently brush my chin. And when she wants more petting, I'm like, okay.
And then if you don't, then the claws come out. Then it's,
No, she
then it's a gentle brushing with claws.
No, she just gently brushes my chin.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know.
Do it.
Do it.
It's either petting or biscuit. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Okay. That's Billy.
Yeah.
It's true.
No, it isn't.
Brett is
cat-hater delusions.
He's not that cute.
They're like Republicans.
Brett in Louisiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Brett.
Hello. I was calling about infrastructure spending.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Back in March of 2009, we passed an $860 billion stimulus package, and less than 25% of that money has actually been released for projects. That would be my first question. And then second,
that's
is
not a question,
all,
it's a statement.
Or, well, you know, where's the money at? I mean, how come it's taken 4 years later and we still got bridges falling down?
Well, this bridge was hit by a truck. This didn't fall down, but...
Well, yeah.
Well, we got bridges falling down all over the country. I mean, we're talking about we spend money on wars, but we don't spend it on mm-hmm. infrastructure. Here we've had money for 4 years sitting around and nothing's been done with it.
You know, I don't know.
Congress controls the purse strings.
I was going to say, so. I don't know if that's that specific statistic is correct, but we can find out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The president was in Oklahoma over the weekend.
People here pride themselves on the Oklahoma standard. You know what Governor Phelan's called being able to work through disasters like this and come out stronger on the other side.
He was standing near a pile of debris. He said it was hard to comprehend the destruction caused by the tornado last week. He vowed to provide long-term federal help in rebuilding. And this is, but you know what's interesting? This last call reminds me of this guy, Caleb Sloan, mm-hmm. 24, who lost his home in the storm, said Obama's words gave him hope that help would be forthcoming. He has no choice but to live by his words, Sloan said. I hope and pray and think he will keep his promises. Well, this is a deeply red state. It's people like him, I'm sure, that mm-hmm. voted for Romney, and it's not the president that's holding up, but it's your own senators that
right.
are voting against it or asking for offsets.
Exactly.
And I doubt that many normal people like that realize that. That, you know, so he's talking about, I hope
Why
the president
isn't the president
his,
allocated right. the money? Well, that's not his job.
Right. No, but I mean, the president has it obviously said that. It's people like Inhofe and Comeron that are holding it up. It's just, mm-hmm. it's unbelievable that I think, that, you know, and they vote again and again and again against their best interests. Let's go to Don in New York. Hello, Don.
Hi, I was wondering, the gentleman who just talked about Benghazi.
Yeah.
I'd like to know myself, the evening of that attack, where was the president? You know I heard rumors that he was sleeping, but I find that hard to believe. But nobody says, where was he? I'd like to ask you, where was he?
Probably in the White House.
Probably in the White House. Why?
Yeah.
What's your point?
So why didn't he just fly over and fix it? Is that the question?
Okay.
Okay.
Kenyan magic voodoo.
Wow. Yeah. He was out of bullets early. Okay. All right. Because didn't some right-winger say he was flying to Vegas or something? I don't know. So it's all of the above. He was apparently in the White House and flying to Vegas and asleep.
Well, playing craps on Air Force One.
Right. Exactly.
Well, I'll be darn tootin'. It's John and Pam.
It's the John and Pam. It's the John and Pam Show.
Good morning, John and Pam.
Good morning.
Morning, my baby dolls.
How are you?
Hey, I want to tell you one thing real fast.
Yes.
I think old Lindsey Graham and John McCain are trying to take the place of the Dixie Chicks in that when they made fun of Bush.
Oh, there you go.
Remember when that happened, honey?
Yeah, I do, sweetheart.
I took the phone away from John. I'm in there making homemade bread for him.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, the Dixie Chicks caught all kinds of flack when they did what they did.
Yeah.
Well, why don't they do something to McCain? He ain't got no right going over there.
That's right. That's right. You
and
tell
you
him.
Know what? And something else, and I'm not going to mention no names, but he called in from Texas. That son of a gun needs to have a shock collar put on him, because every time something stupid comes out of somebody's name, they need to be shocked.
All right. Thank you.
Shocked. Not shocked. Yeah.
Right. Shocked. Okay. he Hebe in West Virginia?
Hi, it's Hebe.
Hebe, sorry.
Yes. I have a comment on the last caller that called about the stimulus.
Yes.
A lot of that money went to teachers and firefighters, and there has been a lot of infrastructure repair and replacement. And also about a third of it went to tax reduction.
Right.
So most of it has been used.
Right. That's what I was saying, is people tend to throw out statistics, and until you know, we have a second to check it, I don't even know if that was true. It didn't. It smelled untrue.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, much more to get to, including Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow. I don't believe it. This is too good to be real.
Of course this is real.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show, 21 minutes after the hour. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com coming up at the bottom of the hour as usual. Danny in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Danny.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, okay. What I just wanted to say is Lindsey Graham, I've been watching this guy for some years now, and I think the country would be much better off if he just go ahead and get him a boyfriend and go on vacation somewhere.
We have no information regarding Lindsey Graham's personal preferences.
Or him going to Fire Island.
Yeah,
we're just saying.
I know. I'm just saying. This is an observation that he just needs to go ahead and get him a boyfriend and go on vacation.
He needs to get himself some, is what you're saying.
We don't know what you're implying, but whatever it is the Stephanie Miller Show wishes to imply, wishes to apologize for whatever she's implying. Maybe she meant a friend. Kathleen in Oregon, you're
right. He has a friend in John McCain.
Right.
Maybe he should be one of Marcus Bachman's patients.
Kathleen in Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
I was just curious as to who's footing the bill for McCain's trip.
Yeah, funny that. Interesting.
Probably us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How much does treason cost, I wonder?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was wondering.
Yeah. It's a good question. All right. Meanwhile, Senator Dick Durbin talking about the Associated Press in our wheel of scandals.
What is the government to do if, in fact, that disclosure could endanger our military forces or those who are cooperating with us to fight terrorism?
Yes, I could do an entire morning film of guess the quotes on when this was, you know, a Republican administration, how very, very important it was that there be no leaks. Oh, my goodness. Lindsey Graham, so chatty this morning.
We're beginning to criminalize journalism, and I think that should worry us all.
And I think by that he refers to what that caller just said on the Stephanie Miller newscast.
Snooping into his
private
life.
For which we apologize. We have no idea what that caller was thinking. Okay.
But we have no idea why he was seen in Key West over the weekend.
No, we don't have any information whether that's even true. So the suspect in last week's savage killing of that British soldier on a London street was arrested in Kenya, as it turns out, in 2010, while apparently preparing to fight and train with Al-Qaeda-linked Somali militants. British soldier Lee Rigby was the one that was hacked to death. The arrest has brought to 9 the number of suspects who have been taken into custody regarding his horrific killing in London. This guy, I guess, changed his name. His name is Michael Adabaloja. Something like that. I probably said that.
It's better than a Chechen name.
Right. This is better than the Russian story.
Sure.
Adelabalo Joe. I'm going to say.
Okay.
Was deported from Kenya after his arrest in 2010. Kenya's government spokesperson said that he was arrested under a different name and taken to court before being handed to British authorities. He said the Kenyan government cannot be held responsible for what happened to him after we handed him to British authorities because they're wondering how, you know, all this happened.
Yeah.
But anyway, that...
Interesting.
That, yeah.
So is he a British citizen? Is that...
Yes.
Okay. Huh.
All right. Margie in Philly, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Margie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I would like to comment on the guy who was calling asking about where were the President Obama when Benghazi was hit.
Right.
He was in the White House. We know where George Bush was when the Twin Towers fell, the Pentagon was hit, and the plane landed in the field. He was sitting in front of kindergartners.
Right.
And when they took him from there, he was flying all over the country trying to find a place to hide. He didn't come out until later on when the people were asking, where's the president? Where's the president?
Yeah. Yeah, we know exactly where he was. He was pooping in his pants while he was reading to kids. Okay. Yeah, is that a new talking point? Where was the president during Benghazi? I don't...
That talking point's been around for a while.
It seemed a little moldy to
yeah.
me. All right, someone has sent me a future wife stack.
Oh?
Woman allegedly etches a penis on a car and leaves a note. Natasha Myers, 23, has been charged with criminal mischief. The Florida woman came up with a half-cocked plan to take the law into her own hands.
That took balls.
Right?
But
officials say she used her car keys to etch a penis onto the hood of a silver Kia in the...
Okay.
In the parking lot of a grocery store, Tampa Bay Times reporting. Complete with a note with red, hey, I keyed your car. You didn't stop for pedestrians, as is law. Since no cop is here to enforce a ticket, this should cover the cost of your fine. Have a good day. P.S. Don't be a...
Richard.
Yes.
Right. Don't be a...
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that happened.
Well, there was a good reason for it.
Okay. All right. So lots to get to. Oh, a little skosh of beaver stack from Jesse in Iowa. I'm not sure what, this is just new information, Jim. Did you know there were once between 60 and, that seems a little rough, 60 and 400 million beavers? That's a lot of beaver.
Wow.
Occupying the rivers and streams of North America.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
From the Great White North to the deserts of northern Mexico. That's drier beaver down there.
Yeah, way dry. That's like postmenopausal beaver.
Then the Europeans came.
What?
Nothing. With them came disease, along with an insatiable desire for beaver pelts and for beaver castorum, which is it's a secretion. Anyway, often used in perfume and cologne.
So, beavers secrete something?
Right. Yes, that's what this particular...
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. All right, so those are the beaver fun facts for today. We'll have more. It's science stack, technically.
Sure. Yeah. Beaver secretions. Always learning about those.
Right. And when the Europeans came. All right. Charlie Pierce from Esquire.com with some great stuff, as usual, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Once you open the box, it loses its value.
Yeah, my mom gave me the same lecture.
Now I want the Charlie in the box.
No, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, Larry in Arkansas. Hello, Larry, welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, go ahead.
You know, I'm a little right of center. You know, I'm pretty far right of center. I mean, I squeeze a penny, you know, like it's going to... You know, I just squeeze a penny and tighter than tray bark. You know, I'm real conservative in that way. You know? But, you know, I've been listening to President Obama through the years, you know. Well, he talks, you know. He's not, he doesn't talk un-American, you know. I realize he's a socialist / commie, you know.
But he's not a socialist commie.
Not even
that close. Doesn't really bother me, Stephanie, you know. Because, you know, I think Obama, you remember that nursery rhyme, you know, old King Cole with a merry old soul? You know, he was a monarch or a dictator, in other words, you know. Well, who wouldn't want to live under old King Cole? You know, I wouldn't mind living under Obama in his social slash commie bill, but what's going to happen when he croaks? You know, I mean, he ain't always going to be there. You understand?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I'm sort of praising Obama. I like Obama. I really
do.
Okay,
good. Well, as far as communist dictators go.
As clear as a guy can get. You know?
All right. As far as socialist communist dictators go, he's a nice feller.
You know?
What the?
Yelp.
Yeah?
Yelp.
Is that like always nice to hear from Leon
Socialist
Redbone.
Socialist communist. You're all right. Leon Redbone. Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty much.
All right, then. Wow. This really is after a vacation weekend, isn't it? That was... I should probably flush the lines with something, see what's happening in there.
Pour some Drano down there.
Okay.
That might help.
I also, can I have the hate letter music?
Sure.
I just got it. I don't know what's going on. We are universally hated. Oh, Bill. Subject, LOL. And apparently not in a good way. Apparently laughing at us, not with us.
Ah.
After flipping the channels and hearing your knowledge,
no wonder.
And that's spelled K-N-O-W, no wonder.
Oh, wow.
So apparently his knowledge, my knowledge might be a skosh better of, let's say, spelling.
The English language.
No wonder this country's all screwed up. You people aren't even Americans.
I was
Obama's B, a traitor.
Obama's B, a traitor.
T-R-A-D-E-R.
A traitor.
Since he took his oath.
His oath?
Obama's B, a traitor.
Wow.
Since he took his oath. Go and apologize to other countries for our behavior. What a wimp. He needs to take his ball and go back to Africa.
Ah, because that's where he came from, you see.
Wow.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Okie dokie. All right, then. Mason. I should not have stopped drinking. Hello, Mason.
Oh, I got to tell you, I've been watching the IRS hearings on C-SPAN, and it's got... I know I'm on drugs because I just had back surgery, so I got to check this with you a little bit. I don't understand why we're so upset that the conservative Tea Party had to be questioned by the IRS about claiming tax-exempt status. Shouldn't we be upset that a political party got a social welfare tax-exempt status? I mean, shouldn't that be what we're upset about, not the fact that they had to answer some questions?
Yeah.
They weren't singled out either.
Right.
There was 200-some in the group, and there was only like 98 Tea Party members.
And as Jim said, they didn't lose tax-exempt status. I don't even know where the there is exactly.
Yeah. There is treason, Obama-Hitler.
Thank you. Okay,
treason.
Thank you. Nicely done, Jim. Yep. All right, let's yep. Hey, guess who's here? There's only one man now that understands. That's the author of America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce. Oh, where'd you go? Oh, we lost him. Oh, the line dropped. All right, he'll be right back. Just as I said, Charlie Pierce, Oh, by the way, Bill added a P.S. By the way, did you know you have to get a background check to buy a pressure cooker at Walmart?
No, you don't.
No, that is incorrect.
Because a pressure cooker is used for something else.
Right.
Primarily, besides making bombs. Guns are designed specifically...
Shot himself with that talking point.
Yes.
He just shot himself in the foot, talking point wise. All right. I will put Charlie Pierce's little thing aside, and we will wait till we can re-find him. How about that? I read a great piece, by the way. A lot of stuff online about we're getting very close, to a Supreme Court time in June on the marriage equality decisions and stuff like that. I thought this piece. I mean, it really is amazing when you see. I don't know if you know David Blankenhorn. He testified against marriage equality, and he has totally come around. Not that way. He wrote an op-ed in the LA Times, to me, that's why it's so compelling. When Ted Olson, who's a well-known conservative, wrote the conservative case for marriage equality in Newsweek, and obviously has prosecuted the case. But anyway, I thought it was amazing stuff he wrote. He said, let's be honest, the gay marriage debate, and this guy, I recognize his name immediately. He's the guy that testified for whatever those nom fam, nom fam people, something.
Nom.
Oh, do we have Charlie? All right, now I have to wait. Now I have to tease this story and come back to it. All right. Charlie Pierce, hello.
Boy, what a morning.
Yeah, what's
Technology
going on?
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, exactly. Trust us, we know. How are you? Happy Memorial Day and all that such.
Oh, happy Memorial Day to you, too, and thank you to all the veterans, and including my dad, who passed away. But thank you for all you did in, like, you know, saving the world.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we've been talking about the IRS stuff. You read the piece in the New York Times, right? It turns out, who could have seen that coming? Many of these Tea Party groups were engaged in pretty much political activity.
Yes,
what a shock.
Yes, people involved in politics will engage in political activity.
Yeah.
I'm probably shocked to learn this. What?
Right. And deserve scrutiny is the point, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, yes, because, I mean, if you accept the fact, which I don't, that the IRS is the one who should be policing the insane way we finance our politics in this country, then yes, they deserve to be scrutinized.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, I prefer to have, like, sensible campaign, reform, and the fact that, I prefer that Citizens United devised the way it is, and I would prefer people don't game the system. But if people game the system, they're going to get caught.
Right.
And
right.
If they get caught using inappropriate criteria, well, okay, that's a problem we have to fix. But
yeah.
if they get caught because they're doing what they're not supposed to be doing, then I don't have a lot to say.
Yeah, I mean, you write, oh, look, the New York Times has decided to remind us all that the yapping about the dumbassery of the IRS really involves delays in the paperwork that would enable people to get in on a very lucrative scam that was made possible by the insane way we finance elections in this country. And that's what we've been talking about, right, that Citizens United. There was a flood of these groups. You also picked out my favorite, the Wetumpka Tea Party from Alabama.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it's important to remember that none of these people are being audited. All
right.
of these people are having their paperwork delayed.
Right.
Part of the reason they're having the paperwork delayed is because the IRS is overworked and understaffed. The other reason that they're having the paperwork delayed is because, admittedly, the IRS offices used inappropriate criteria to decide who they were going to go look at. But the biggest reason that they're having their paperwork delayed is they're doing stuff they're not supposed to be doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the Wetumpka Tea Party, as you say, and I mentioned this earlier, they were sponsored training for a Get Out the Vote initiative dedicated to, quote-unquote, defeating Barack Obama, which sounds just a skosh bit political. Right.
Which not only sounds a skosh political, it sounds not a skosh at all like social welfare.
Right. Right. Same with the Ohio Liberty Coalition, which, as you say, and the New York Times pointed out, sent out emails to members about the Mitt Romney campaign events, organized members to distribute Mr. Romney's campaign literature. I mean, that's what I keep asking, Charlie. No one's answering. What social welfare are they doing at all? Any?
Well, I mean, I guess they would argue that they're doing the social welfare of electing Republicans, which will make, society better and work toward its welfare.
Right.
I'm just trying to think in their own mindset. No, they found a loophole and everybody dove through it, and then the IRS, which, as I said, shouldn't be enforcing campaign finance laws, was tasked with trying to close the loophole or at least cope with it.
Yep. You always, as usual, crystallize it perfectly. You say a lot of what's being called a scandal is plainly an attempt to police a scam designed by people who are trained to game any campaign finance system and who have made their careers doing precisely that. Maybe it's time for the IRS and the administration to come out of a crouch on this. And I think that's true, because somebody was saying, Charlie, that a lot of this is designed to, scare everybody off so that, it's even more of the Wild West in 2014, right?
I think it's designed to make permanent the kind of habits of oligarchy that got got embedded in our election system by Citizens United.
Right.
It wasn't just the grounds on which Citizens United would decide it. It was the principles on which it was based, which is basically that money is speech.
Right.
And that corporations are people, and that therefore they have these rights.
Right.
I think that's a dangerous road to head down. I think it's where we were in the last time we had a Gilded Age, and I think that's what we're having now. And that's why I linked it not only yesterday to this New York Times story, but also by the attempt by Mark Pocan and Keith Ellison to get a constitutional amendment to, establishing a right to vote.
Right. Right.
Because I don't see another way out on this, because the habits of oligarchy, as I pointed out, that have been embedded in the system are now working to restrict the franchise.
Right. Right.
And if you do that, that's the ballgame. Because if you manage to keep people from voting then you manage to make permanent those things which you want to make permanent and which I think are destructive.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about Oklahoma and the president being there this weekend, and, you know, it was interesting. They're, you know, they quoted just some random guy that's like, oh, I sure hope the president keeps his promise about federal aid. And I thought, this is why this is such a deeply red state, is they don't really, it's people like Inhofe and Coburn, as you talk about, are the ones that are blocking stuff like that. Right?
Well, not just that, but I was in Tampa, and I heard Mary Fallon, the governor of Oklahoma, give the most astonishingly ahistorical speech I've ever heard an American politician give about how the federal government had nothing to do with the building of Oklahoma.
What?
You know what Oklahoma would be without the federal government? A whole bunch of sand with a bunch of pissed off Indians. That's what it would be.
Right.
It would be a Sam Kinison.
And yet, there she was on Face the Nation this weekend, standing up saying the FEMA money's not coming fast enough. Well, wait a minute, lady.
Wow.
Build it yourself. I mean, I don't mean to be mean, but go build it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I spent all night at that convention on the we did it, you know, we did in fact, yeah, yeah, neener, neener, build it ourselves.
Night. Yeah.
Yeah, and you said
pull herself up by her own Ferragamo straps.
Right, and you said she might she might make a phone call to Senator Tom Coburn, who appeared later on the program to ride his personal hobby horse all over the rubble and more. She could perhaps tell him to shut his damn gob, which I think is good advice.
If she wants to prove to me that she's sincere about this, then she can tell Tom Coburn to shut up, basically.
Right.
That this is what we do as the United States of America. We help people when entire towns get blown up by tornadoes.
Yep. And you say it perfectly. The actual deficit is, of course, dropping. Whatever deficit in humanity Tom Coburn has is growing almost by the hour. I mean, that really, I suppose, you know, someone said, oh, well, at least he's consistent asking for offsets, even for aid for his own states. Well, if he's consistently a douche, I guess.
That's an argument I have never understood. If a guy is consistently wrong, he gets credit for being consistent.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, if I consistently walk against traffic, and somebody hits me with their SUV.
Right.
I don't get credit for always walking against traffic.
I will give you credit, Charlie. I will say at least
Thank you, Stephanie,
your eulogy.
I know you will, because that's the way your little mind works.
Charlie Pierce, you are a delight, sir, even after a long holiday.
You would be
weekend.
A Charlie Pierce apologist, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would. I love you, Charlie Pierce.
See you guys.
All right, see you next week. All right.
You know why people are so worried about what Obama was doing during Benghazi? Fringe right-wing sites were accusing Obama of being high in coke and looking for gay sex.
Oh, of course,
as
he normally is.
That's what they were trying.
What sites were accusing him of that?
I believe he was actually at Walter Reed, is what I just Googled.
Mm.
Yes. Okay, just for those all y'alls wondering.
Mm. Right.
47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, at least it's a good place to see celebrities.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Why, looky who's here.
My name is Sue. How do you do? Yeah.
It's Sue in Rockville, everybody, with her brand new jingle. Hello, Sue.
I have a jingle?
Isn't that cool?
I have got to listen. That's amazing.
Oh,
that's
here it
amazing.
Is. And you want to do it again? Here it is again.
Thank
you. Rocky Mountain Mike made this
one. My name is Sue.
There you go.
How do you do? Yeah.
Technically, it's Johnny Cash, but
all right.
Now, here's how do you do. Please tell your trolls when they call in, first of all, that after a three-day weekend, it would be helpful if they were a little more sober before they
called,
number
right.
one. Number two, the
that one guy was blasted. All right, go ahead.
Well, you know, speaking authentic frontier gibberish was a role taken by Gabby Johnson in Blazing Saddles. That
right.
role has been filled.
Thank you, Sue.
Who could argue with that?
Right. That's what I thought. Okay. Grady asks, Steph, why didn't the IRS pull the tax-exempt status from the LDS Church after they pumped $22 million into the Prop 8 campaign? Oh, you are the smartest boy in class, Grady. Good question!
Yeah.
Which brings me to this piece that I was talking about in the L.A. Times. David Blankenhorn, a lot of us out here in California will know who he is. He's the guy that testified against marriage equality in the Prop 8 trial, and he has now completely changed his mind and written a fine American op-ed about it.
That's right.
He wrote What Matters Now About Marriage. And looky here. Listen here. He said, let's be honest, the gay marriage debate is nearly over, and nothing the Supreme Court does when it delivers its opinions on the Federal Defense of Marriage Act and on the fate of California's Prop 8 is likely to change that astonishing fact. A very few years ago, most Americans, including me, viewed the idea of gay marriage as both undesirable and wildly improbable. Today, most Americans, including me, believe that permitting gay and lesbian couples to marry is the right thing to do, a matter of simple justice. Let us pause and wonder. I was me pausing and wondering. At the speed and moral meaning of this change, as recently as a decade ago, homosexual conduct itself was a crime in many U.S. states. That world has vanished. Gay rights of all kinds are increasingly protected. Gay marriage is legal in 12 states and counting. Mm-hmm. Gay families are a part of our social fabric. Whatever the Supreme Court decides about the two cases now before it won't be nearly as important as what has already happened in our country. This made me very happy clappy. He goes on to say, he talks about why it matters. He said, if you are a gay couple living in, say, my home state of Mississippi, or in one of the other Sun Belt states in which opposition to gay rights is strong, you care very much about whether your state can prohibit same-sex marriage. For those reasons and more, I have every hope the Supreme Court will craft decisions that will move the country in the direction it is already headed toward marriage equality. And yet arriving at that position for me has been a difficult and painful journey. Until June 2012, I was a vocal opponent of gay marriage. I wrote a book about it. I spoke against it across the country. I was an expert witness in support of Prop 8. I did all of that not because I condemned homosexuality or objected to gay civil unions. I didn't. But I believe gay marriage would weaken the traditional institution of marriage, the institution that binds mothers, fathers, and their children together. We made a lot of other points, but you say gay marriage and families, which by their nature involve the loosening of biological family ties, seem to pose one more threat to an already beleaguered institution. Anyway, his personal evolution, he said, I changed my opposition to gay marriage because of personal relationships. And that's what the polling bears out. He said, in my case, it began with the writer Jonathan Rauch, who I had been publicly debating on the gay marriage issue. But at some point, we stopped debating and started talking about our lives, including about my wife, Raina, and his husband, Michael. Did Jonathan's marriage threaten the idea of marriage? Perhaps in theory, but in real life, was I able to see it? No. In fact, quite the opposite. It may sound trite, but for me, the key was the gradual breakthrough of empathy. I found that as friendships develop, empathy becomes at least possible, no longer kept at bay by a wall of fixed belief. Put simply, becoming friends with gay people who were married or wanted to get married led me to realize that I couldn't in good conscience continue to oppose it. But another reality was also becoming clear at the same time that gay and lesbian couples and their supporters are struggling for the right to marry. Millions of straight couples are abandoning marriage entirely with tragic consequences for them and their children. Further, this abandonment is occurring among our once heavily married middle and working class. Upscale Americans are still enjoying marriage's economic and social advantages. Yada, yada. Anyway, he makes really good points.
Yep.
We're going to try to get him on this week. He said, this is where I found myself a year ago. Fighting gay marriage was wrong because it was denying real people access to a status and an institution we all have a stake in. Moreover, the battle was doing nothing to strengthen the institution overall. This is where I find myself now. The goal of marriage equality is to make marriage available and achievable for all who seek it, gay and straight, the upscale minority, and the non-upscale majority. And the strategy for achieving full marriage equality is a strategy of strange bedfellows, social conservatives and gay rights liberals, a coalition that could put an end forever to the conflict between gay rights and family values. The coalition is waiting to be born no matter what the Supreme Court decides. Right? Who can argue with that?
Exactly. I'm not arguing
with
you.
You're not arguing with that, are you? I'm not arguing with that. All right, so a stunning kind of turnaround for someone that was very, very vocal. He did. He wrote an entire book about it, so we will try to get him on this week because we're getting close to the Supreme Court decision. So, and people are saying they're wondering more and more politically if that's going to affect the court, all these, you know, pro-marriage equality rulings in state after state. So we shall see. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. The Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Troll Day, everybody.
Yeah.
An excess of, we have a lot of backed up trolls that have got a lot of talking points that got backed up over the last 3 days.
Troll day to you.
Right.
Tyranny, freedom, Hitler, Hitler. Tyranny, Kenya, Hitler.
Freedom.
We had all of that this morning.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Kenya, socialist,
yes.
Communist.
Obama, Hitler-esque because of the IRS.
Yeah.
Scandal. What now? All right. Wow. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, all y'all trolls. Did I make Newsbusters again? What happened? I was on CNN Friday night, I recall.
You weren't in my Stephanie Miller Google News alert, so.
I don't know what happened.
You
usually, thanks to the lack of infrastructure spending, there's not going to be enough trolls, bridges for these trolls to
live under. Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Exactly.
They'll be out in the open.
They have surprisingly good cell phone service from under their bridges. It's really astounding. All right. Yeah, we had a three-day weekend. Rocky Mountain Mike, of course, did not. Working, working, working.
What's some box wine with your fart jokes? Party name for G. What's all these crazy questions the caller's asking me? They got the craziest party, the crazy GOP. Don't troll from the right. Don't troll my Stephanie.
Wow, wait, great guitar work.
Right? Wait for it. Blink. Okay. All right, good.
One more.
Oh, by the way,
yes.
we just have a little bit of breaking news about that damn Obama.
That
consumer confidence is at a five-year high.
Damn it.
Today.
Oh, yeah.
Damn
it.
That damn Obama.
Mm-hmm. He's ruining the economy.
Thanks, Obama. Arnold in North Carolina. Hello. Good morning, Arnold.
Good morning, Stephanie. I want to know what the mooks are doing on the job. They're not doing their job this morning. They're sitting back on the rusted dustbin. They had about 600 trolls call your show this morning.
Yes.
And no troll alert went up. No troll alert went up.
What? Oh, for God's sakes, thank you for the Stephanie Miller Show appreciates your
This is a test.
Attention.
This is a test of the right-wing troll notification system.
All right.
This is only a test.
Benghazi.
Thank you. Okay.
This has been a test of the right-wing troll notification system. Had this been an actual issue, you would have been instructed where to tune in your area for half-baked information.
Mm-hmm.
This concludes this test of the right-wing troll notification system.
I was jumped by two trolls Friday night on CNN. I was on about that case, the Caitlin Hunt. This 18-year-old girl that's being charged with a felony for a consensual relationship with another teenage girl when they were in high school together. I thought, are we really there are people that think that that's okay? That's a thing.
Like, that she's being prosecuted.
Right.
Yeah.
I was saying, when I was 14, my high school boyfriend was 17. I can't imagine my parents having him arrested when
again,
he turned
17. Again, 17, that's not the age of consent, though.
Right. So 18 is the age of consent. So,
okay.
So the problem is...
She's going to have to go through life with a sex offender status?
They probably would have turned him in had he been 18.
Sure. The problem would be if they're not prosecuting straight couples as vigorously as they're prosecuting homosexual couples.
Of course it's homophobia. It's ridiculous.
No, not necessarily.
No.
They had a consensual relationship,
and then she turned 18, and it's no longer consensual.
Right, and then it's not consensual according to the law, because
nothing to do with
the other girl is under
Whoever
the age of consent.
Whoever was on with me is like, well, the older person sometimes influences. I'm like, well, my high school boyfriend didn't turn me straight.
Yeah, that's bollocks. However, the age of consent is 18.
Right.
Please.
If you're under 18 and the other person is over 18, the person who's under 18 cannot consent according to the law.
The girl's mother was saying the other parents are just, they think that my daughter turned their daughter gay.
Right.
You know?
But the homophobic parents have something to stand on,
right.
Unfortunately, according to the law. I'm just saying.
Law schmaw.
Yeah, who cares about the law?
Sexual battery. That's what she's charged with. Really?
According to
a consensual relationship between two girls.
According
Trust me
to
on
the
this.
Laws in Florida. Yes.
Not battery. Gene in Cleveland.
You're hey, hi, Steph.
You have some things that require batteries. But
stop it. I knew you were going to go there. I knew you were going there. Gene in Cleveland. Hello, Gene.
Hi, Stephanie. The IRS scandal.
Scandal?
I remember back here in Ohio, all the all the advertisements and all these 501Cs getting on and they were fighting each other. And I'm just wondering, they still had all those Republicans sitting there at the IRS, if they didn't call for some of these, some of their own groups to get audited. You know, Karl Rove, you know, he's pretty sneaky. He knows how to do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that, you know, because I was looking, Stephen Colbert showed how easy it is to open up a 501C, and the
right.
first thing I thought of was fraud. That's all you have to do. You know, mm-hmm. list Republicans,
mm-hmm.
open up a 501C, call them up, speak in single-syllable words, and you could raise a ton of money.
Yep, I hear you. Tommy writes, Steph, the total number of Tea Party groups that did not get tax-exempt status is zero, nada, zilch, big hairy ass none. I think Billy and some others who call your show all own Dell computers that are linked by a landline to Skeeter.com. They turn it on, it brings up the Stephanie Miller Show's number and email link. So all the Skeeters out there in Skeeterland, USA, can get in touch with your show. 5 seconds with the Google, by the way,
yeah.
Billy, shows the well-known church All Saints Episcopal. Oh, because he didn't believe me. This has ever happened before. So I guess it didn't.
Because if Fox News doesn't report it, it doesn't happen.
However, Skeeter, the well-known church All Saints Episcopal in Pasadena became a bit of a cause celeb on the left after the IRS threatened to revoke the church's tax-exempt status over an anti-Iraq war sermon the Sunday before the 2004 election. And it wasn't just churches. In 2004, the IRS went after the NAACP, auditing the nation's oldest civil rights group after its chairman criticized President Bush for being the first sitting president since Herbert Hoover not to address the organization. They're saying, if you criticize the president, we're going to take away your tax exemption from you, said then-chairman Julian Bond. It's pretty obvious the complainant was someone who doesn't believe George Bush should be criticized, and it's obvious their response that the IRS believes that, too. So there, Billy. Google machine. Do it, Skeeter.
Hey, I'll just want free stuff.
History turns the
massive
page.
Voter fraud,
but you know,
acorn,
I know,
Benghazi,
we all know a Skeeter.
They all get free hip-hop iPhones.
Obama derangement syndrome reaches all segments of society.
It's going to be 25 cents
rich
more.
And poor, young and old, anyone can be a Skeeter.
He watched live video of Nicki Minaj and Mariah Carey, didn't do anything to stop it.
Sufferers of Obama derangement syndrome
Canyon.
Only have to remember three words.
Socialist.
Skeeter.
Skeeter. It gets better.
For those unable to distinguish between fantasy and reality,
it gets better. Can I get back on the Yahoo comments now?
Please do your part by giving at your local Skeeter kiosk.
Monkey is not a racist term.
Help Skeeter.
War against coal.
Help Bubba.
Obama has a Marxist dog.
Help Karl Rove.
Elections have a liberal bias.
A delusional mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Yay. Oh, by the way, Tommy also sent us this one. California faces huge budget surplus.
Huh.
Oh, looky there. Democrats are in charge. The budget surplus is back. How'd that happen, I wonder? After years of grueling battles over state budget deficits and spending cuts, California has a new challenge on its hands. Too much money. Oh, my goodness. Just like when Clinton. Remember the budget surplus? And the... Oh, my goodness.
Major paying too much tax. I'm going to fix that.
Tommy says, by the way, I hope you enjoy the $400,000 you got from Ohio for high-speed rail when our governor said no to the future. Yes, thank you.
Oh, I don't know if we're going to get that high-speed rail off the ground here. No.
Yeah, well.
There's too much deal.
Right,
yeah,
we got their money.
Yes, we
got Ohio's money.
But still.
Oh, by the way, part two, we have a statue of Arnold in Columbus. Please come and take it back to California.
Send it back to Austria.
In California. They do, because that's where
the Arnold
muscle head thing is.
Yes.
Right,
the Arnold Classic.
Yes.
Is what they call that.
My point.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. Connie in Delaware. Hello, Connie. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much.
Hello.
Hello. I'm enjoying your show so much.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to give my opinion about our Congress and the way that they have handled our president. I think Obama has just done a great job. And if her Congress would cooperate, he may get his second term done as he wants to. And the Republicans just will not do anything to help him.
Yep.
And this 501C that they're trying to do for these super PACs, I just think it is wrong. And the IRS was simply doing their job, in my opinion, to try to weed out some of these people with whatever it's called, the social
Social welfare.
Welfare?
Yeah.
I mean, for goodness sakes, I mean, that makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I know.
And
me too.
It's just an opinion that I have because I think that Obama has just done a grand job. Our economy is much better. And so I just wanted to voice my opinion today.
With 100 tacklers on him, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that happy clappiness. Much appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Lynette in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on this Caitlin Hunt case. Hello, Lynette.
Yeah. Hey, you guys. No, I had a situation. Now, I'm not lesbian, but I had, you know, I was 16. My boyfriend was 18, and I didn't realize until 30 years later when I met him, 30 years later, my mom had broken up our relationship because she went to him behind my back, and she threatened him, and she said that if he continued to see me that she was going to have him arrested.
Wow.
It was very devastating, no matter whether you're heterosexual or lesbian, to interfere like that, because I thought
Thanks,
I was
Mom.
Personally rejected, and it was, you know, because it led to a lot of suicidal depression for me at the time, and I wish parents would realize that this is not helping, you know, no matter what the situation. It's very personal. To me, it was not a lesbian situation.
Yeah,
but.
Well, and it's hard to say. You don't, Chris, I haven't heard anything with this other girl involved. It seems like it's the parents. Like, I don't know that the other girl involved, you know, has a... is for this, obviously.
Right. Well, the parents of the other girl are going to have to be the ones who bring the charges.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, exactly. But I just can't imagine that somebody that was in a consensual relationship with someone would want them to have a felony sex offender status their whole life. I mean, that's going to affect her whole future and employment and, college, all that stuff.
I know, but it's not consensual if one of them is over the age of consent and the other is under.
It was consensual when it started.
That's not the point.
That's
though.
Not the point.
God
that's
sakes.
They didn't bring the charges when it was consensual.
It's unfair, but it is the law.
It is completely unfair. I agree.
Okay. All right.
But that's the law.
17 minutes after that. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That makes me sweat.
Yeah, speaking of making you sweat, we're getting some cards and letters about
right.
your
leave me alone.
Your situation.
Right.
We're gonna call
Shush.
You. We're gonna call you Brad Pitts.
Are you having an event?
An
armpit related event?
Yes, I'm having an event of some sort. 23 minutes after the hour.
Just keep your arms down for the rest of the show, please. Thank
okay.
You.
Inside the tram at all times. Do not feed the monkeys.
Keep your arms and legs inside Captain America's underpants at all times.
Oh, boy.
Okay, let's go to Carol in Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi. In the heterosexual cases that I've heard of, specifically I'm talking about R. Kelly, if the minor does not agree to testify or participate, don't want to prosecute.
Right.
So why are they prosecuting
you need to turn down your radio.
Case.
Yeah, you have to turn down your radio. That's a good point. That was one of my questions about it. Mm-hmm. Caleb in California on the same case. Hey, Caleb.
Hey, Stephanie and the Mooks. Hi. Listen, this is really about capacity to consent. Minors do not have capacity to consent to relationships with adults. We call that pedophilia.
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether it's a consensual relationship because the minor does not have that capacity.
Well,
and it also doesn't matter whether this is a lesbian relationship or a straight relationship.
Caleb, I mean, it just seems like haven't we all been in high school? I mean, most kids I knew were dating somebody two or three years older.
You were breaking the law, or rather,
then what you're really talking about is advocating for a change in the law to allow a relationship between an adult and a minor within a certain period of time, a certain age group. But an 18-year-old having a consensual relationship with a 15-year-old, if this were my daughter, and I do have a daughter, I would be the first one contacting my local police department saying, this has got to stop because she doesn't have the capacity to consent. Now, your parents may have been different. They were in a different state, New York. New York has different laws right. than California. If you go to some of the southern states where the age of consent might be 14, and it might not be a violation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. No, I get your point.
There has to be a cutoff age for pedophilia.
I get your point as a parent. Yeah, I mean, I do. It's just, I'm just saying, I think that certainly is a different case than, a lot of the ones that we're used to hearing about, you know? I mean, it's a 50-year-old guy and a 20, you know what I'm saying?
Not all of us can find someone who's 3 years older when we were in high school, Stephanie.
Well, I was just that cool, wasn't I?
Yes, you were.
Anya, and no, I was not. Anya in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Anya.
Good morning.
Good
hey,
morning.
I love you, and I'm so surprised that I disagree with you on this. I have to say, the guy before me said pedophilia, and that made my skin crawl. It's not pedophilia, but I do agree that the child involved is just too young
right.
to consent.
No, Anya, and thank you. I was just going to say, that's what I meant, Chris. That's not pedophilia to me. I mean, I understand what he's saying as a parent, and maybe that's the difference, Anya, because I don't have kids. Maybe you're right.
Well, I think the definition of pedophilia...
You
know. No, I don't think you have to have kids. I mean, anybody who's watched Law & Order SVU knows that pedophilia is not when, two people who are 3 to 4 years apart are getting together, under the bleachers of the football game.
Mm-hmm.
Pedophilia is something much different. And, I would hope that the prosecutor would prosecute a male and a female in some way. But
right.
just like I said,
well,
I think that
the felony, to me, I mean, at least you would think you can agree that's excessive, right? To make it a felony sex offender case. Where she
yeah.
has to go to prison? I mean, does really anybody think she should go to prison?
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, you break the law, you have to take responsibility. And I just, the parents said that they talked to her a couple times and said, hey, stay away from our daughter. This isn't a case of mm-hmm. Romeo and Juliet necessarily. This is a little bit more serious than that. And,
mm-hmm.
and I also wonder if maybe if she's turned 18, I wonder if the other kid was 13 when it started.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought what I had read was 14 and 17. And then when she turned 18, they pressed charges.
Because
yeah, so I hope everything works out. I mean, I almost wish she would take the plea. I don't think she should be registered as a sex offender, but I hate to see her, spend time in prison. But the parents of the 14-year-old even said they thought it would already be resolved. They thought that they'd scare her and she'd go away, and it hasn't happened. So
yep. I hear you, honey. All right, hard break here. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think you'll find that with
Stephanie Miller,
love and a true belief, all manner of miracles are possible.
Yes, indeed. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Reggie in Chicago. Hey, Reggie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good. Listen, I'm in agreement with you on this one. I'm not convinced with some of the things that your last caller said, specifically that, they sort of told Caitlin to back off, so forth and so on. I sort of think that it seems to me that the first thing the parents did was to run and go to the law. As a responsible parent, I think the first thing that should have been done is for her to go and talk to Caitlin's mother and try
parents,
to get some
yeah.
resolution there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of sanctimonious to stand back and say, well, yes, it's the law, and I agree that it is. And I'm not saying that she should be completely exonerated. I think some punishment is appropriate, but certainly not to brand the poor child as a sex offender for the rest of her life.
Well, and that's what her parents are saying. And, it was interesting, Reggie. Conversations with different people over the weekend about this, and there was one woman literally said, I've been raped. And the guy, they never caught him, and he's done it to other people. And, I think that you're exactly right. To say that this woman should go to prison, I think it's, 15 years or something that they're saying? It could be up to 15 years and...
Yeah.
Felony
That's
sex
ridiculous.
Offender status is ridiculous.
But we have to put this in a larger context. I mean, we really do. Let's think about this. If we were to go after every single young man in this country who has ever had what could be perceived as an inappropriate sexual relationship as a high school student with someone 3.5 years younger, our court system would be inundated.
Right. Right.
I think there is some exceptionalism being applied here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as you say, I mean, obviously the Caitlin's parents are of the belief it's because they think, you know, that Caitlin made their daughter gay and that it has to do with homophobia. And I don't know whether they're right or not, but
I absolutely think that's a part of it.
Yeah.
Yes, Caitlin should get some sort of punishment. It was obviously,
well, and even her parents say that. But, they say we understand and we didn't realize. And yes, she obviously should, you know. I think that
statutory rape laws are so inconsistent. It could be very wildly from one state to another.
Right, because of, you know, local.
It's like you're okay right here. And you step one foot over the line. Right. No, you're a sex offender.
Yeah, it's because of local customs and, you know, right. Whatever.
It's just the way he physicalized that. Okay. Stepping one over, step over the line.
One step over the line.
Exactly. Dennis in Tampa. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. First, Jim, I think you're freaking hysterical. You're so great.
Thank
great.
You.
I just wanted to say that when I was 20, I was dating a guy who said he was 18, but he was 17. And in the state of Pennsylvania, as long as you are within a four-year difference and you have one parent's consent, it's okay. I think it's ridiculous to say that, you know, Once you're 18, first of all, that, you know, all of a sudden you have this group of people that you've been with in high school, and you know, you probably dated half the people you dated were probably now under the age where you can't date them. I mean, it's silly to have this one line of being at 18.
Right.
See, a sex offender is a 50-year-old guy hanging around the schoolyard with his junk hanging out. That's
exactly.
That's a sex offender.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. It's kind of archaic.
Well, I understand what people are saying to about what the law is, but I think you're also right when you say even her parents say it was a consensual relationship, and then it becomes, well, you know, I understand at 14 you're saying that's not legally an age of consent, but it's not. You're right. It's not like four. This is not
right.
The same as pedophilia.
Right, exactly. It's silly.
Yeah. All right, honey. Thank you. Got it. Let's go to Judy in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Judy.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Question, I guess you're talking about this child consent and whatever and locking everybody up, so on and so forth. Well, then I think you go to all the Planned Parenthoods and you arrest all those physicians that do these abortions on these young children, and there's no parental consent at all.
Okay, well, that's not, I mean, it's not
completely
a...
completely different.
Right.
Yeah,
it's not as good,
not
a fair
a
analogy, because
so
that's the law of
child.
The land. Abortion is a legal medical procedure in this country.
But not necessary for a child of that age to be doing something like this without her family knowing.
It's not whether it's necessary. It's a legal medical procedure.
She went into this clinic at the age of 14, and all of a sudden something went wrong, and they call you up and say, I'm sorry, she's dead.
Right. Well, what state are you talking about in particular?
Well, I've lived in Wisconsin. I just recently moved to Michigan. But, I mean, they'll give you no information whatsoever. I mean, I'm glad.
Well,
my...
Judy, because I mean, a lot of some cases, kids are raped by their fathers, so they're going to have to get their father's consent. I mean, it's
how can you compare an abortion to a relationship of love? I don't see where your parallel is.
Well, I'm not saying that this love, fine, if they know what the heck they're doing, okay. Why does the police department? Why does the law have to get in our pants? I mean, it's bad enough they've picked our pockets, but, you know, now when they get into personal things and they take away this parental right to say,
well, that's getting into a woman's personal life,
sexuality or whatever, discuss. If she gets pregnant, if she wants an abortion, I will take her. I will know.
I'm so confused.
Okay, all right. I got confused in there somewhere, too. I. Okay.
Wow.
Well, yes, that would technically be the government getting in a woman's personal medical decision in her pants, wouldn't it?
It would.
Okay. Let's go to Tanisha in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tanisha.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Really quickly, I wanted to weigh in about the two girls having a relationship.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with you at all.
All right.
I know of a situation that happened last week where my niece turned 18 and they were all in her high school pulled into a forum to discuss the ramifications of dating an underage child, even if they go to the same school. that's a warning right there. Mm-hmm. She dated a boy who was older. Her parents asked him on numerous.
Well, they were right, but they were in school together and on the same basketball team, I believe.
He was in school with us too. We were all going to the same high school. We were 15, and he was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents asked him and told him what can happen, and he decided not to. So they had to press charges against him. Mm-hmm. My daughter, she was having conversations with a 16-year-old, and she's 14-year-old. I think they're on a different mindset. I don't think that they're capable of making the decisions. I think even at that age level, each child has different experiences. And I don't think this is about a gay thing. I think boys get in trouble all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'm far from homophobic. And I think that if you do it, we all get in trouble for breaking the law.
But there's also a double standard with teachers having sex with their students. If it's a guy with a girl, you know, drop the hammer. If it's a hot woman with a younger guy, it's like,
Mary Kay.
You know.
Mary Kay Letourneau was dragged through the court system.
I know, but this is the attitude. This is real inconsistent attitude. I'm talking about Bill Maher, essentially. But
yeah, exactly. We're talking to you, Bill. Sabrina in exactly. Guys get high fives. Sabrina in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Sabrina.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I was have an issue with this subject also as an African American. You know, I know parents have concerns about their children dating older people, but you know, some people use this law as prejudices.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this used when I was in high school. African-American boys would date, you know, and I'm going to say it, Caucasian white girls in school.
Right.
And their parents would go straight to the police and mm-hmm. they'd be in jail, registered sex offender for the rest of their life. So
you know,
that's racism.
Yeah, Sabrina, somebody called last week and said, there's this case in Georgia where, you know, a guy was, and sure enough, it was a black guy and a white girl, you know, and I think you make a good point.
Yeah, I know parents have concerns, but, you know, some people use it as a weapon for racism.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's two sides to the coin.
Yeah, and Sabrina, we may not know what's in their hearts, whether this is homophobia or not, you know.
Yeah. That's true. Well, no, you don't, but, you know, some I do know. So, it's just personal opinion, I guess.
Right. All right. Gotcha. Let's go to Frank in Phoenix. Hi, Frank. Welcome. Hello, Frank. Frank going once, going twice. Jim in Huntington Beach. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Yo, what's up, Stephanie?
No. Hello.
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 I kept talking to you guys, man. Stephanie, Randy, and Rachel are my three warriors. I love you guys. Been listening to you guys for years.
Three-way.
I'm sorry.
All right, go ahead.
What I got to say is about this whole thing about people turning 18 is like, wow, what leverage would that have been if you'd have been a 17-year-old boy saying, you know, at the midnight, this becomes illegal, baby. So, you know, it's...
We've only got four minutes to save your life.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm thinking of me as Justin Timberlake. Sarah in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Well, I have a very similar situation. I was 17, and I had a girlfriend who was 14. And we ended our relationship when I turned 18, and I ended it because I turned 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so basically I was thinking to myself that I've crossed over a line and I can't, and she was still 14, and I said, I can't be with a 14-year-old, and that literally broke our relationship off.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong, I wasn't, like, completely in love with her, but, you know.
You just have fear of commitment, Sarah, you trollop. All right.
you're not willing to go to prison for her.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is that it was not... For me, it didn't feel like pedophilia, and actually I experienced that earlier in life as a child.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And so I knew the difference. And for me, it was just crossing a line and saying to yourself, okay, I'm an adult now.
Yeah.
I hear you. There has to be a certain line.
Yeah, I hear you. I you know what? I've been swayed on this point. I understand. I do understand both sides. And like I was saying, it's hard. This other caller saying it's hard to know. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's blatant, whether it's racism and homophobia, and sometimes you don't know what's in people's hearts. So, all right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. When you call me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Greg, with some thoughts on this whole Caitlin Hunt thing and 15 years in prison. He said, meaning she'll serve more time in prison for this affair than Scooter Libby served for outing a spy and possibly resulting in the deaths of our intelligence sources, and probably more than the Steuben Bill rapists. There's that. He said, I also read the parents didn't say anything to either the 18-year-old or the parents of the 18-year-old until after she turned 18. The other thing mentioned is that the 18-year-old didn't take the plea deal. That's because the deal involved her being charged with child abuse, and then she could never see her nieces and nephews and would be a sex offender for the rest of her life. Pedophilia isn't what this is. That'd be more like Jerry Lee Lewis and his bride. Did he go to jail for that? She was 13 and he was 22. And then finally he just said the 18-year-old should have adopted the younger girl like Ted Nugent did.
Yeah.
Yes, there's that. Nugent did do that.
Or like what Liberace wanted to do with Scott.
Right.
Yes.
In Behind the Candelabra, which we're officially obsessed with.
Wow.
That was awesome.
That was
You've got to see
tawdry.
Rob Lowe as the plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
His eyes have been pulled so tight he can't see to do surgery.
Wow.
Okay.
And did you recognize Scott Bakula in it?
No.
Yes.
Oh, I did. I wasn't until later that I realized
that. Yeah, he was the guy that introduced Scott to Liberace.
Yeah, I recognized him right away.
Yeah.
Ken in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Stephanie. You know, love you guys' show.
Thank you.
I just want to say I think you guys are dead on with this comment about this relationship. I've been in law enforcement for about 20 years, retired now. And one of the first things we learned is there's something called the letter of the law and the spirit of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the letter of the law states, yes, if you're 18 and you date a person under 18, she's a minor or he's a minor, and you can't do it. It's against the law. But the spirit is more or less like, think of it like a speed limit. Speed limit 65. If you go 66, 67, it's okay. We understand it. We're not going to get a ticket. Okay.
Yeah.
In this case, it seems like, you know, the parents should be parents. Don't use the law as a shield to either protect your child or to enforce a law to put the other child in jail or incarcerate the other child.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's kind of up to the judge as to whether they're going to go with the spirit of the law or the letter of the law. You know, if the judge agrees more with...
Right,
and
I mean,
and so it's really arbitrary, and that's what's frustrating.
Yeah,
and
but Ken, I think your point is well taken, though, that I think we all recognize the difference between, you know, this and a 50-year-old man and a 4-year-old or something. You know what I mean? You're right.
Exactly.
And I don't even know. By the way, you bring up speeding. Is there more of a fine? Isn't there for excessive
reckless
speed? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, then
that's
it becomes reckless.
That's when you go well above. I don't want to say an amount because I'm not quite sure, but that's well above.
It's different. But in different
this case,
states.
I understand what the judge, but it shouldn't even got that far. In my personal opinion, the parents should understand, first of all, when they were kids, the difference in their age. I understand the older you get, the more mature you are, but when they were kids, should have even gone that far? Should they have maybe talked to the kids alone instead of exploiting them to the world about this thing and maybe putting up another child in jail? Just because she's 18. She's still a child. She's 18 by number, but I know when I turned 18, that didn't mean I was an adult by law. But my mentality, I was still 17. Nothing changed.
Yep, I hear you. All right.
So,
I wish him
luck.
Yep, exactly.
Hope everything worked out.
Yeah, exactly. Jenny in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, I agree with your previous opinion before you were swayed by Chris.
I'm like a reed in the wind.
Oh, God.
In the wind.
Because what do you make of two 17-year-olds in high school having a relationship, consensual, having sex or not?
Right.
And then one turns 18 6 months before the other.
Right.
Are they all of a sudden against the law?
Well, Chris, I think that you were saying it depends on the age of consent. Is it the same in every state?
No, it's not.
Well,
some states are 14, some states are 16, 17, 18.
Some are 35.
It depends on local.
They're really
stuck. I still haven't consented.
Yeah, it depends on local customs.
So it's not always 18.
And it is not always 18, no. In Florida, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. So, right. So that would obviously depend. Mark in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Yes, I'm very interested in the idea that what you're doing is you're wanting a set of preferential treatment for a specific group of people. And as a 53-year-old white male, I want to know how I apply for preferential treatment.
Oh, God.
Thank you for the oh, God.
you would like to be able to sleep with a 14-year-old girl? Is that your point?
When
pervy.
I was 18, I would have liked to, but I didn't have that opportunity because my state does have a statute that involves
right.
what
the Mark, do you really believe that an 18-year-old girl, an 18-year-old girl should go to prison for 15 years on a felony sex offender charge for a consensual relationship in high school?
I believe that she should be treated exactly like a male would be in the same situation, which is she would have the option in front of her to make a deal, and if she does not believe that she is guilty of the issue, she shouldn't take the deal.
Okay. All right. He just wanted to make an affirmative action point. Isn't he clever? All right. I don't know. Okay. I understand his point, but you're right. It was a little bit of snark.
Yeah.
Hello, Pat in Denver.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, did the parents know that this relationship was going on before this girl turned 18? And if they did, why wasn't something done about it then instead of just saying, okay, you're 18, now we're going to...
Right. Yeah, that's what somebody, mm-hmm. we were just asking. Yeah, is that you know, apparently they didn't say anything until after she turned 18, and I think you're absolutely right.
What?
All right. Oh, by the way, last week, Jim, we were talking about Angelina Jolie's...
Right.
Preventative double mastectomy. And some people will. Her aunt just died over the weekend. Did you hear about this? Of breast cancer.
I don't think we knew that her aunt was sick with breast cancer.
At 61. She's the sister of her mother, who also died of breast cancer at age 56. And both sisters had the exact same mutated gene, which Angelina Jolie inherited. So, you know, I know some people were like, oh, that seemed extreme. But I think in her case, obviously.
And
not.
Now we know the reason for the taste of it, I guess.
Right. Wow, how crazy is Amanda Bynes?
Amanda Bynes.
Yeah. Wow, what's going on there?
She's trying to out Lindsay,
yeah,
I think.
That's really all my friends were talking about this weekend was how crazy Amanda Bynes looked in court.
Woo! She lashed out at Rihanna. Has Rihanna not had enough, really? Saying Chris
should have hit her with her umbrella.
We didn't hear what she said.
She said Chris Brown beat her because she's not pretty enough. Really?
Wow.
She was charged with attempted evidence tampering, reckless endangerment, and marijuana possession in court on Friday, and since has accused the arresting officer of sexually harassing her. So I have no idea where this came from with the Rihanna thing. She said, Chris Brown beat you because you're not pretty enough. Rihanna, no one wants to be your lover, so you call everyone and their mother, and I almost named my new dog Rihanna. Wow. She went on to say, Rihanna, unlike your fugly-faced self, I don't do no drugs. Wow.
Oh,
the NYPD looking into serious allegations made by the actress in a Twitter rant on Saturday in which she accused an officer of entering her apartment and slapping her hoo-ha.
Really?
And lying about her throwing a bong out the window in front of him. Why am I guessing she probably threw a bong out the window?
Yeah. She said it was a vase.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure, the Ming vase. That's it. Good one. All right, that's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.